Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 14. Everybody there, say amen. Oh, about half of you sound like is there. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14. Give you about 5, 3, 2, 1 seconds to be there now. How many is there? Say amen.
Amen.
That's about 3/4 and a little bit more, so let's go. The rest of you will just have to get there. The Bible says here, ye are the light of the world. Now, I'm preaching through the Sermon on the Mount, and we've been just working around this thing of salt and light and so forth. Last week we preached on the lamp and the light. This week I want to focus on this phrase, ye are the light of the world. I want you to underline that word world. We're going to look at the doctrine of the world. And I want to say this morning, introductory. There is no way that you'll ever understand Christianity unless you understand the doctrine of the world. You will always be a baby Christian and a carnal Christian unless you understand what you're dealing with from the biblical perspective of what the world is. Now, in the Bible, there's the world, and there's the church. There's the devil, and there's Christ. And there is the spirit, and there's the flesh. And there's three things that you're going to battle against as a Christian. The flesh, the world, and the devil. Now, I'm going to tell you something this morning. I preach a lot on the flesh. I kind of understand how the flesh operates. I have a flesh nature. I can understand how it operates. And I'll preach on the devil, and I'll fight the devil. You know, the devil, I can really kind of, Jim, I can kind of identify him in a way. You know what I mean? He's the devil, and so forth. And the flesh, I'm real, real close to the flesh. I kind of understand how the flesh works. But let me tell you what'll get you. Let me tell you what'll get you. That's this world. I'm going to tell you what'll tear you up and keep you from growing and keep you from glory land, keep you from Canaan land, keep you from victory, keep you from blessing, and rob your family and send your grandchildren to hell. And even though you may be a preacher, you may love Jesus Christ, but let me tell you what, I'll get your grandkids to hell, and that's worldliness. Worldliness is in the church. I want you to take your Bibles to John chapter 3. Now remember, he said, ye are the light of the what? World. Now remember, to the world, we are light. We are not educators of the world. We're the light of the world. Go to John chapter 3. I'll show you something about the world and the light. Now, God said you're the light, right? If you're saved, God said you're the light, right? Right. Y'all going to be with me. I'll tell you what, I'll start running up down these aisles. I'm not going to let you go to sleep this morning. Amen. I got to preach fast. And if I didn't believe what I was preaching is the most important thing you've heard all week, I'd just sit down and shut up. But it is. Chapter number 3, John. Chapter number 3. Just got through giving the gospel for God so loved the world. Verse 16. Look at what God says in verse number 19. Look at verse number 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men did what? Loved darkness. Now listen. Read your Bible. Don't you just let me preach this morning. You may have to, you know, hold up your sick sister. I don't know. You may have to hold your belly. You may have to blow your nose. You may have to run the bathroom back. I don't know. You may have to change the baby's diapers, but you still read that Bible. You still look at this word this morning. Don't you let nothing rob you of what God's getting ready to give you. He said we're to be the light of the world, but here's what he said about the world in response to that light. He said men love darkness rather than light. Because why? Because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Do you hear that? You are the light of the world if you're a Christian. God says they are not going to like your light, and they're going to hate you. They're going to hate the light. You need to get it down in your heart today. Listen, if you're a child of God and you love the Lord Jesus Christ, this world is not your friend, and they're not a friend of Jesus, and they're not a friend of grace. What you and I are trying to do is not convert the world. We're reaching out and giving the gospel for sinners to be saved out of the world. These are evil. Verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Do you know why people don't want to go to a church where there's preaching on sin, where there's preaching on Christ, where there's preaching on the blood, where there's preaching on wilderness, where there's preaching on issues that really count in your life? It's because they don't like anybody to reprove that darkness. And they hate the light. And that's why they'll make caustic comments. That's why they'll whisper around things against you. That's why your own family will turn against you. That's why Jesus said that if you don't hate your own father and mother, yea, your brother and sister, your son and your daughter, you cannot be my disciple. And we want this world to love us. We want this world to like us. And I'm telling you this morning, listen, you just well hit it straight. This world will never love Christianity. It will never love our Savior, and it will never love you if you love Jesus Christ. And you trying to be a buddy up to the world and one foot in the world and one foot in the church is never going to work, and it's going to rip your soul up from here to eternity. He said, lest it's deep, but he said in verse number 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light. In other words, you know what God says? When the day comes that you desire truth in the inward parts, he said, you'll want to come to the light. You'll want to come to church and you'll want to hear preaching that's straight and you'll want to hear the word of God and you'll want to be around that which is right. It's not hard to figure out who people that's saved and not saved. It's really not. It's not difficult. Those that hate the light hate Christ. They're not Christians. Those that love the light come to the light, and they receive the light. He said, he said that his deeds may be manifest. Look at this verse. This is you talk about it. He that doeth truth cometh to the light. Why? That his deeds may be manifest. He wants his deeds made known. He wants the truth. He wants everything in the light. He's not afraid of preaching. He's not afraid of the Word of God. He's not afraid of the truth. And even when he's done wrong, he wants somebody to deal with it. Now, if you're of the truth and the light, you'll like good old Bible preaching. And if you're not, you won't. And the world is slick as snot in deceiving us about this issue. You say, you shouldn't have used words like that preaching. Well, it's all right. Let's go to, I want you to go to 1 John. I want you to go, let's go to John. I want to get down, there's a verse I'm looking for. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10. I want you to look at it. 2 Timothy chapter 10, I'm sorry, verse chapter 2 and verse number 4 and verse number 10. I'll get it eventually. Paul's getting ready to leave this world. He's getting ready to leave. This is his last letter. I mean, he's about to go to the chopping block and get his head cut off there in Rome. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10. Now, watch this. Boy, I tell you what, you hang around Jesus Christ and you draw close to Jesus Christ and you get dedicated and devoted and sold out to Christ, you're going to experience this, buddy. Here it is, verse number 10. And Demas hath forsaken me. Why? What brought about the fact that he forsook the Apostle Paul? Having loved this present world and is departed. Boy, I've watched that. I have watched that over and over and over and over again in the last 30 years. 1 John, go forward just a few pages to 1 John chapter 2. And then we're going to take off. In 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15 through 17. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, there's those three things, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times in those verses that I just read you, the word world is in there, which is 6, the number of man. The Bible is very clear that there is a doctrine of the world. Look at your handout I gave you this morning, and you'll see here a definition of the world. In this lesson, we do not mean the earth, but mankind. If you're looking on number 1 on the front page there, mankind is a whole in the great world system into which it is organized. The media is of the world. I hate to tell you, I don't want to shock you too bad, but Fox News is of the world. Not just MSNBC and NBC and CNN and all that crowd. But Fox News is of the world. Rush Limbaugh is of the world. Sean Hannity is of the world. You better get that down. They're not a Christian organization promoting Jesus Christ. They're just another wing of this whole world complex and system. So you've got a notch to fit in and feel good in. Then there's education with the world's educational system. Man alive, you don't have to have the sense of a gnat to know what's going on in that. Totally reject God, totally out of Jesus Christ, totally Bible out, totally out. Entertainments, Hollywood, philosophies, the wisdom of the world, the religions of the world, the customs of the world, the traditions of the world, the fads of the world, the dress of the world, the music of the world. And I'm telling you something. Love not the world. Love, friendship with the world is enmity with Jesus Christ. You've got to get this. You have to get this. You can be saved and you don't get this. Let me tell you something. The world will rob your own kids. Sitting in church, you can raise your kids in church from now till you die, and the world will get your kids if you don't understand the doctrine of the world and learn how to exercise spiritual warfare against it. Now listen to me. I'm going to say something pretty tough this morning. In my family, we went to church. I went to church. I forgot how many straight years I went with Sunday school attendance. I had a string of Sunday school attendance pins. Now, the thing that marvels me is that our family has done as well as it has with kind of preaching. And I'm not knocking any preacher that we had when I was growing up. But to be honest with you, how many knows what a Corvette is? When I was 20-some years old, I had a white Corvette, a black Harley Davidson Sportster, hair down to my shoulders, music on the radio, and all I was concerned about was being what the world thought was cool. I was in the world's music, in the world's methods, in the world's mannerisms, and the world was taking me to hell. But I loved the world. And now, wait a minute. I was in church. Every Sunday. Every Sunday night. Every Sunday morning. Worse than that, I was teaching Sunday school classes. Worse than that, I was singing in church. But I was totally of the world. Now, let me tell you something. My mom and dad didn't have no hellfire and brimstone preacher like me when we was growing up. If we did, I don't remember them. Now, I'm not blaming my mom and dad for anything, but I will say this. That I was growing up in church, but the world was stealing me, even though I was sitting in church. And the world was stealing all of us. And if it had not been for the mercy and the grace of Almighty God, who just literally reached down and picked me up as a firebrand out of the burning, and His sovereign grace, His sovereign mercy, and woke us up, I'd be in hell today. And I'm saying this to you, that you can be in this church and the world still gets you. You're still playing with the world. Still tinkering with the world. I'm saying this, that there's the world, the flesh, and the devil. There's the church, the Spirit, and God. Is today Super Bowl Sunday? Well, I'm going to tell you this. The world doesn't have any idea what the Super Bowl really is. You and I are in the Super Bowl. We're in the great conflict. That's children's play tonight as far as that's concerned. We're in this great battle between God and Satan, between the church and the world, and between the Spirit and the flesh. The real battle is between Christ and the Antichrist. Between good and evil, between truth and a lie. I want you to write some words down your heart today. Am I devout? When I was growing up, I thought devout was only for Catholics. Somebody would say they're a devout Catholic. Hey, you know what devout means to die? It means that you have become so attached to and so committed to the cause of Christ that you would die rather than change. You know, we've lost the word of devoutness in our churches. Brother, I'll tell you something I think. Now, I'm going to preach about half of you out of here. But I tell you, this business of just drifting into church when you feel like it's sick. It's killing America. We've got an attitude in our churches now. It's coming across America. It's this casualness. It's this casual attitude about church. I can go when I feel like it. I can go when it's handy. I can go when it's convenient. Do you know what your problem is? You're not dedicated. You're not devout. And you're in the world and you know it this morning. I want to tell you, some of you need to repent of your worldliness. I'm telling you, the world's swallowing you up. It's going to swallow your children up. It's going to swallow your grandchildren up. Unless God the Holy Ghost doesn't work in you to change your thinking. I'm saying this to you this morning, that we're living in a time of great deception. What would you say is worldly in the way of conduct? What would you say is worldly in the way of attitude? What would you say is worldly in the way of words and belief and philosophy and dress and in entertainments? I'm going to throw something at you. How many things would be all right to go to Andy Williams show? Is that worldly? Well, I mean, what about going to, What's somebody help me? I ain't been to Branson in so long, I can't even think. The bald numbers. I'm just asking you to think now. How many thinks it's worldly to watch Andy Griffith? Now listen to me. You can get on this scale deal all you want to, all that, but I'm going to tell you what you have to have. That anything can become worldly. Anything, and the world's very subtle about how that. There was a time when Hollywood would not dare do things and put things on movies for a reaction from the American people. But you know what we did? We piddled with them. Probably we walked over and said, "Boy, that's pretty cute." You know, we kept piddling with Hollywood until now. Hollywood don't give a flip what you think. And they'll push pornography and nakedness and wickedness down the throats of you and your children, and they tell you to like it or don't watch TV. That's how the world will treat you. There's a great deception. Satan makes us think that in fulfilling our command, watch this, our command from God and even our desire from God to win other people to Jesus Christ, that we've got to make other people feel comfortable in the church. So we should embrace their music, and we should embrace their dress, and we should embrace their mannerisms and bring that into church so folks feel comfortable. That's what's going on across America right now. That's what these mega churches and all this emergent church deal is all about. I mean, that's what all the preachers wearing flip-flops and Bermuda shorts and Hawaiian shirts is about. I've had guys tell me, "Reggie, we're a seeker-sensitive church. We want the lost to feel comfortable." I don't. I want you to feel welcome. I want you to feel loved. But I don't want you to feel comfortable until you're saved. I don't want to slide your I don't want to grease your slide to hell. So we bring our music, we bring their music. And let me tell you what we've got in the American churches right now. We've got a bunch of unsaved, unconverted religious hippies running church. That's exactly what we've got. Bunch of old religious hippies brought in their 60s music and their 60s attitude, and they brought it in, and now they're running the churches of America. Stuff that wouldn't be dreamed about going on 30 years ago is operating. What used to be considered a wild rock concert is now standard fare in a lot of churches in America. That we should embrace their music and embrace their dress. That we should never offend them with the truth. That we ought to compromise biblical standards. That we should, in essence, yoke up with the world, and the church and the world ought to get together and really groove it out. That we should marry up with the world in our churches. That's why in James chapter 4 and verse number 4, the Bible said, it calls those who allow worldliness into their lives and their homes and their churches, adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And God says those that do that are spiritual adulterers and adulteresses. We're being unfaithful to God when we let the world determine what the church is going to be. So now across America, we've turned our churches into donut and coffee shops. I'm going to tell you, as long as this preacher's behind the pulpit of this church, I don't want donuts and coffee served in this church house. To draw your friends into your Sunday school class or into your Bible class or into your little club. You want donuts and coffee? Go to the coffee shop on Monday morning. We've turned out the wine and the bread for donuts and coffee. Amen. We've made it feel like, oh, just come to the coffee shop. We're going to slick the gospel in on them here, though. What? Here's some cookies. We took the same stupid junk about children. Let me tell you something. Somebody said, "Reggie, why ain't you got buses running all? Why ain't you going to get little kids? Don't you care about little kids?" Yeah, I do. And I'm going to tell you how to reach kids. That's reach their daddies. Reach their daddies. Let me tell you something this morning. We're Kool-Aiding and cooking kids all over this country, and they're growing up and hating the church because there comes a point when they're about 18 that you quit feeding them Kool-Aid. You walk up to an 18-year-old who's been brought up in some children's church and played games and you know, if he can't be entertained and games played, then he's 18 years old and you walk up to him with a glass of Kool-Aid and some cookie, Oreo cookies. "Here, stay in church, please. Stay in church. I'll give you 4 cookies." Yeah. I mean, how many cookies and Kool-Aid does it take to keep the little squirt in church? Let me tell you why we're not giving them Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that'll ever keep you in church, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We've turned it into donut shops, and then we've turned it into sports centers. Oh, join our little, join our baseball, our softball team. I love sports. I like sports. I listened to one of the boys in this church play ball on the radio the other night, and I enjoyed it. I like it. But when sports becomes the motivation of getting people to church and becomes your worship pattern and system, we're messed up. Tonight, there will be churches across America that will put the big screen up on, and they'll watch the Super Bowl while they're eating popcorn and they're eating donuts and drinking coffee. Because they know they're just trying to get them out of their house to the church house. And they're compromising with the world. Then we've turned our churches into rock concert halls. Let me tell you something. I know you're talking about white Corvettes and black Harley Davidson sports. And by the way, I still like a Sportster. And I still like a Corvette. Just can't afford one. And it's hard to haul six kids in the back of a Corvette. Get a trailer, I guess, and pull behind you. I don't know. I still like to drive a Corvette. You see, it's nothing intrinsically wrong with the Corvette, but it's the worldliness that's attached to it. For why in the world would you want to buy something you can't afford to even pay the insurance on? Do you know what my Corvette was about? I wanted them girls to look at me. I wanted to be thought of by the world as cool. I wanted, when I come around the square in that Harley, go, whoom, whoom. Black Harley Sportster. I wanted to please the world. Now, I'm telling you something. You listen to me. I think, you say, Reggie, no, I'm happy as a pig and slop to guest this morning. That's the best illustration I know to give you. I'm glad God took me out of the world. I'm glad God now, but it almost took me to hell. I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning down here south of Norwood on C Highway. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, out in the middle of the field with my car radio blaring, my lips bleeding, I had went to sleep, coming home at 3 o'clock in the morning, ran off the road. It's God's mercy that I didn't hit a concrete culvert about 35 feet back up the street. It's God's mercy I didn't hit the big trees. I slid out into a field and turned around and had smoke coming out of my car. I could have been in hell and never even knew I got there. I'm glad God had mercy and brought me out of the world. I ain't got no time for the world. The world about took me to hell. It took me to hell wanting to be like them. Let me give you an illustration this morning. We're probably not going to get anywhere on this. You take this home and study. Bring it back tonight, though. Bring it back tonight. Now the world will tell you, girls, put you on some britches. Boys ain't going to like you if you don't wear britches. Let me tell you how the world operates. You ain't got your britches, then the world says, well, they ain't looking at you as much as you thought they would, are they? If you get them a little tighter, you get them a little tighter, they'll look at you more. So you get them a little tighter. Now you listen to me, listen to me. Hey, wait, girls, here's what happens. Susanna, here's what they'll say. They'll say, well, now listen, the deal is, the reason the boys ain't looking at you ain't tight enough. So you get them tighter. Pull them off. Now what's this? 6 weeks later, the devil says, you're somewhere shopping, and, oh, what's that? Sequins. Is that what they call them? Sequins? Little silver studs? Sparkly deals. And they put them right back here.
Yeah, they do.
And so now, the devil says, you get something sparkling back there, they'll look at you. So you buy them sequin tight britches. Here's what I'm trying to say. You will never lower yourself enough for the world to be satisfied. They'll eventually tell you to take your britches off. To get them to look at you. You ain't never going to degrade yourself enough to satisfy this stinking world. When they're done with you, they'll throw you in the ditch, cut your throat, throw your guts on the road to be run over and laugh at you because you followed their stupidity. Isn't this amazing? Stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. We got 60, 65, 70-year-old women running around, skin-tight britches on, sequins on the back. Like, hey, everybody. Stupidest, sickest bunch of stuff I've ever seen in my life. and then sit around and cuss men because they have adulterous thoughts? Huh? I'll tell you what you ought to do. You ought to get that stuff off of you. You ought to hit this altar today and say, by God's grace, I'm not going to be that. I'm not going to allow the world. I'll tell you, I never seen anything like it. But the whole thing is this. How far do you have to go to satisfy what the world says you got to be? Just think about it. When are we going to wake up and say, I'm going to quit being part of the world system? Renounce it. Let me tell you what's going to count when you take your dying breath. I've been sitting at the bedside of people dying, grasping for every breath they can get. And let me tell you something. They're not interested in all the clubs they were joined to. They're not interested in all the world stuff that they had thrown at them. They're not interested in their studded britches now. They're interested in, what have I done with Jesus Christ? And let me tell you something further. I'm about sick of American men. It's no wonder the world thinks American men are a bunch of sissies, is because they are. You want to be tough? You want to be a man? Start living for Jesus Christ tomorrow morning. Start telling other people about Christ and caring about people. You know you're a sissy, you can tell people about God. That's exactly right. I'll tell you, a man who's gone this country. This country is built on men who knew the gospel, who knew the truth, who knew the Bible, and we're not ashamed of it. Rock concert halls. I've been to them. When the lights come on, when they shut the lights off, all you could see was marijuana cigarettes, lighting the whole hall up. I'm going to tell you something. When you get into church services on Sunday nights, you have a youth service. You get all the teenage girls up in the front on the by the band, and they're all up here doing this nonsense, and the band, the smoke's coming out. Let me tell you something. Church services are turning into worse than what rock concerts used to be. Let me tell you something about this stuff. The world, the wolves love it. And that's what we've got taking advantage of people. The wolves love it. The carnal of it. Let me tell you who you'll face the worst opposition should you decide that you're not going to no longer love this world and its ways and its systems and its mannerisms. That's your own family. The closest people to you. You know why a lot of people won't change? Because they really know it's going to cost them. It'll cost you some friendships. But the fear of man bringeth a snare. Now you listen to me. When you're afraid of losing friendships and you're afraid of what people will say and you love them more than you love the Lord, it snares you. You're trapped. And I remember so much being so trapped in that worldly trap. You know what I kept saying to myself was, Robin, I kept saying to myself, I know God's real and I know the Bible's real, but I want the world to like me. And I want to be accepted by the world. And I want to be approved of by the world. And I want their favor and their approval. Which might be manifested in several ways. Maybe by hiring me in business. Maybe by voting for me. Maybe by giving me that job. Maybe by asking me to their gatherings. And you know what? I knew. I could see there was such a vast chasm between the world and the church. I began to see the world's playing games. The church is playing games. They're flirting with each other. And the devil has produced the most subtle trap to hell that's almost imaginable. And that's not understanding. Wherefore come ye out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. Thus saith the Lord. You shall be my children and I'll be your father. Love not the world. Why? Because it satisfies the flesh. It lives us in the fear of man. So what about the world and the life of God in the realm of Scripture? In the end, the very world that the church is compromising with, that the church is accommodating with and conforming to, is going to destroy the church. I see it happening right before our eyes. The media has played with us. Education has played with us. And they've taken advantage of our desire to be part of the world. And in being part of the world, we've given up our faith. And the funny thing about it is, once they've got us in, they will turn and stab us. And they will kill.
the true church if they could. Let me tell you something. They will never be a friend of grace. This world is not the friend of the cross. They hate the cross. They're a friend of religion. Religion's okay. But not the cross. When the world's done with you, as I said, they'll throw you in the ditch and laugh and walk away. I want you to look at your handout real quick. We're going to run through the first page, and tonight we'll go to the second. Number one, the world and Satan. John 14:30, and in John 16:11, the Bible calls Satan the prince of this world. Satan is its ruler. It has Satan as its God. 2 Corinthians 4:14, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. It is controlled by Satan. The whole world lieth in wickedness. That is not to say that a sovereign God is not above all that. But let me tell you, when Adam sinned and forfeited his federal headship of the human race, Satan came in. And Satan is now the little g god of this world. He even offered it to Jesus Christ. Somebody said that wasn't a legitimate offer. I beg to differ with you. The world and God, number two. The world does not know God. The world, the Bible said there, the world by wisdom knew not God. John 17:25, the world hath not known thee. It does not believe God in Romans 11:30. It hates God. Let me tell you, understand this. Do you understand? This world system hates Jesus Christ. They hate God. And you better get that down in your soul or you're going to get so tripped up and messed up you won't be able to get the clouds out. It opposes God. 1 John 2:16 and James 4:4. We've talked about these verses. Now, I give this to you because I want you to look these up. The world and the Lord Jesus Christ, number three. It did not know Christ. It did not believe Christ. It hates Christ. It rejected Christ. And the world in 1 Corinthians 2:8 crucified Christ. Number four, the world and the Holy Spirit. It does not know the Spirit. It opposes the Spirit. Acts 7:1-51. It is convicted by the Spirit in John 16. And they hate the work of the Lord. Number five, the world and the Christian. The world does not know us. You can read it in 1 John 3:1. They know us not. The world hates us. Jesus said, they hated me before they hated you. And if you really come out clean for Jesus Christ, the world will despise you. It does not receive our testimony. We read it there in John. They hate the light. Now listen, we are not to hate the world. We are to reach people in the world. And God is saving people out of the world. Let me tell you the difference between religion and America. Let me throw something at you. I'm a premillennialist. All right? I'm a pre-tribulation, rapture premillennialist. That means that I believe that Jesus Christ is going to come for the church before the tribulation and before the millennial reign. That's important. I used to not understand why it was so important. Postmillennialism and all millennialism believes this, that we're going to convert the world to Christianity. Well, I got news that what they're doing a mighty poor job of it. And the gospel is not to convert the world system to Jesus Christ. It's to reach people with the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and to save them out of the world. And you and I are to come out of the world. Now, we're to go into all the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And that's why it's important for us to understand this doctrine. Because if you don't, are you listening to me, you young preachers, you listen to me, you'll get down the road of life, and you know what you'll start doing? Instead of being separate from the world, you'll start easing into the world to build a church. You'll start, I tell people this is interesting, all the time happens. You don't know what a preacher really believes by what he preaches. It's what he doesn't preach. You don't know his character and what's inside of him by what he preaches near as much as what he will not preach. What you want to listen for is what he dodged. That's fact. And you'll watch preachers. Where are you going to go now, Harley, to find preachers that preach on modesty? Where are you going to go to find preachers now who preach on the sanctity of marriage and the permanence of marriage? Where are you going to go to find preachers now who preach on false religions? You know, when I started preaching and about false religion, you know what pastors locally would come and tell me? Reggie, you need to quit attacking them. Yeah. I didn't know I was attacking them. I thought I was just preaching the gospel. Yeah. You know what? Can anybody tell me why they came to me and said, Reggie, you need to quit attacking them? Because the light was reproving them that they were cowards. That's the fact. They were afraid to preach. What about preaching against the public education system? Do you know why most preachers won't preach against it? They're scared to. They're afraid they'd get kicked out of their churches. They would lose their job. They would lose their friends. The offerings are being given by people who make their living. And listen to me. Don't throw no stuff at me. My grandmother was a school teacher. For 20 years, she walked and rode horses to one-room schoolhouses and taught kids. I love teachers. I think everybody ought to get a good education, a good Bible education, Bible-based education. I'm not against education. I'm against a world system that hates God. A man told me in the hospital this week, he said, Reggie, he lives right up here north between here and Mountain Grove. You know what he told me? I was like, fell over. I've never seen this guy in church in my life. You know what he told me? He said, Reggie, when I was a boy and went to school right here in Wright County, he said, the very first thing we did, the teacher stood up and we had prayer. Second thing we did was say the allegiance. And the third thing we did, she read our morning Bible reading. And then we started school. That's a man who's about the age of my dad or about the age of Brother Lakey back there probably. Did you know right now in America that's illegal? And that's what the church got for playing footsie with the world. And that's why we have home education. And that's why we have Christian schools. And that's why I preach on the things that are contrary to the doctrines of the world. And that's why I see, I'm going to tell you something. The greatest thing, and I'm about done, we're going to go home, I'm done. The thing that burdens and sickens my heart is I know family after family in this country whose grandpas and grandmas were good, godly people who loved the Lord Jesus Christ. They were faithful in church. They held the torch. And they thought that the school had their best in mind. And they thought the Bible college would strengthen their children's faith rather than tear it up. They thought if I send my daughter, my son off to Bible college, man, it'll help them be strong in the Lord. And little did they know that they were paying for the destruction of their own children. And we thought that we were sending our kids to school, and we thought that the school surely would not promote anti-biblical and anti-Christ and anti-God beliefs. We surely thought they would not teach them sex education and turn them into perverts. We thought surely they would not pass out condoms, and surely they wouldn't pass out abortion pills. We thought surely we can trust our government. Let me tell you something. This world and its systems will steal your grandchildren. And I have lived in that generational span when I have seen, let me tell you something. I've went in book sales for men. You listen to me. I'm going to give you my heart. I have book sales for men who sat at their kitchen table and dropped their head in their hands and cried. And I saw their tears drop on their kitchen table and said, Reggie, my own grandkids won't even darken the door of the church that I served in all of my life. The school got them. Weak preachers got them. Weak denominations got them. We said and they would not preach on the sins of my own family. My sons were living in fornication and in adultery, and the preacher was so scared of us, he would not preach on it. And now grandpas go into their graves while they watch their grandchildren descend into hell. God save us from this worldly system. Now I'm going to give an invitation today. I'm not turning you out. I'm going to ask you today to make some commitments to Almighty God. Does anybody know what Abraham Lincoln called God? The name that he used mostly when he wanted to speak of God? The Almighty. Abraham Lincoln When he spoke of God, he would say, the Almighty. The Almighty. The Almighty. He's not almighty to us anymore. He's our little religious crutch. Our little religious cross we put around our necks. Just in case something bad was to happen. I'm going to ask you this morning to say, dear Lord, as you give me the light to walk in the light, I will walk separate from this world. You see, let me tell you something this morning. There is no preacher walking in shoe leather across this land that can do only what the Holy Ghost ever has ever done. I cannot convert you, nor can I cause you to have biblical standards and convictions. But I can love you enough to be used as a mouthpiece for Almighty God so the Holy Ghost can work.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. I will never regret. You listen to me. I will never regret the day that God took that stuff out of me that wanted me to have hair down to my shoulders so I would impress the world. I will never regret the day that God took the chewing tobacco out of my mouth so I could impress my worldly redneck buddies. I will never regret the day when I took the last drop of liquor that touched my lips, Dean. I will never regret the day when I quit going bareback to try to show my muscles. You say, that's stupid. Yeah, it's stupid. And world stuff is stupid. And I will never regret the day when I got up off my knees and said, I no longer care. If they like me, they like me. But I want to serve the Lord. And that's only something that the Holy Spirit of God can do in you. Can I tell you something, kids? Your daddy can't beat it in you. He can't beat it in you. Your mama can't slap it in you. Only the Holy Ghost can come down inside your heart and give you the grace of God, which makes you want to walk with God instead of walking with this world. You listen to this scripture. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. I'm going to ask you today this question. Would you get up out of your seat today and would you come and say, dear God in heaven, as you give me grace and you point something out to me, I'll drop the worldliness. I want to not be conformed to this world. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind and be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Oh, listen to me today. I am not spiritual. My wife told you the truth. She'd tell you he's not spiritual. My sons told you the truth today. They'd say he's not spiritual. And my daughters told you today the truth. He's not spiritual. But let me tell you, they do have a daddy who wants to be spiritual. They do have a daddy who grieves in his heart when he sins. And Dennis, I want to be more like the Lord. I don't want to be like this world. This world almost took me to hell. And what I'm asking you this morning, I'm trying to get across to you that only a work of the Holy Ghost can change your life. To be honest with you, before God's light, ye are the light. Before God's light shined on my soul, I didn't see nothing wrong. I wasn't stealing. I wasn't raping. I wasn't murdering. I could give you a whole list of people that were doing worse things than I was doing. And the problem with me was I was measuring myself with other people. I was not measuring myself with the Scripture, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you something. It does us good every once in a while to look death in the face.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, it's been hard, and I ain't joking. I don't do good at death. I talked to this nurse last night, down there late. She said, Reggie, it's just kind of a gift, you know. She said, I enjoy working with these people. And she said, I will tell you, when I sing to people who are dying, they die quicker and they die easier. She said they quit fighting.
Amen.
But you know, Sister Vivian, kind of, I always looked at her kind of like a little Christmas tree. She just light up when she'd see me. Last night they took that little flashlight and they run that past her eyes and there was no response. And you lean over her body and lean over her and say, Sister Vivian, this is Brother Reggie. And you see just a little bit of a movement in her eyebrows, a little bit of movement. You think about what the Apostle Paul said. To die is gain. To depart and be with Christ is far better. And I just want to say I love you people. I pray that I'm not here to beat anybody over the head. But I don't want to stand at judgment. You say, Reggie, you were a preacher. You were supposed to read and study the Bible and feed the flock of God. Why didn't you preach on these things? Let's stand together with our heads bowed. Father, this morning we come before you. And Lord, I want to be the first today. Lord, I want to be the first to say, Lord, please take the worldliness out of my soul. Lord, I don't want to be conformed to this world. God, I want to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And God, I don't want a false churchianity coming in to our lives. And I don't want my children, nor my grandchildren, nor their children, Lord, to not know the difference between the church and the world. And God, I know, Lord, that you separate the clean from the unclean, the darkness from the light, the church from the world. Oh, God, help us not to try to mingle light with darkness. Father, help us, I pray, that we would be committed to living, Lord, in a way that not in hating the world, but recognizing the world for what it is, that it is no friend of the truth. It is no friend of grace. It is no friend of the cross. It is no friend of salvation. And it literally will lead us to hell and laugh while it's doing it and mock us and make fun of us while they've used us up. God help us in this church and in our homes and in our families and in our personal lives that we would be separate from the world. Lord, only then will we be light. And yet, Father, we know intuitively in our souls that the moment we become light, we will be hated by the world. God, you have told us that strictly, that they will hate the light. But God, help us to love you so much and to love them enough to be the light that we ought to be. And Lord Jesus, help us not to compromise the message of salvation. Lord, this world wants to go to heaven based upon its performance, on how good it is, that there's a little good in everybody. Oh, God. May we preach the cross, which literally strips people of their self-righteousness and leaves them naked and guilty before the cross of Calvary. And Lord, I pray that they would see their only hope is to be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And God, help us to be faithful to that message. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. I'm asking you to step out right now. I'm asking you to make a commitment. I'm asking you to increase your devotedness to Jesus. And say, dear God, whatever you speak to my heart, I will do. By your grace, I want to obey the Lord. Oh, God, give me grace this morning, I pray. Would you come this morning all over this auditorium? I'm asking you to come and make a commitment to Jesus Christ. Now, you listen to me. You may wear your dress down to your ankles, but you've got envy and hatred in your heart. You've got unforgiveness in your heart. I tell you what I'd rather have is some gal in here with a miniskirt on than a bunch of religious people in it that hates each other and talks about each other and despises each other and living on their standards, living under the law. Would you come this morning? Would you let God do a work in your life and in your heart and your soul this morning? Just a moment. Going to close this thing out. You that are here praying, there is no time clock on you. You stay praying as long as you want to pray. I've watched too many families their children and grandchildren being stole away by this world right in the middle of growing up in church for me not to have a burden about it. You young kids, you listen to me. You're going to fight. You're going to have temptations, but God will give you grace. You need to make some commitments of where you stand and why you stand. Father in heaven, this morning we pray that a great work of the Holy Spirit will be done in the souls and lives of all of us today. Lord, you know, God, my flesh is as worldly as hell itself, rotten to the core, loves that junk. Lord Jesus, apart from your grace, apart from your Spirit, apart from your word, I'd be so in love with the world, I'd thank him for killing me. But dear God, today I thank you for the light that shined down upon my soul, where the God of this world had blinded and kept in darkness. And I thank you for the light of the gospel, Lord Jesus. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that though you died for this world, you are not part of this world. And Lord, I thank you for showing me the difference between the church and the world, showing us the difference between right and wrong. And God, may there ever be in our souls a distinct clearness between that which is clean and that which is unclean. Bless these people now, Lord. Encourage their hearts and fill them with the joy of the Lord, that they may be a strong people. Make them glad and thankful and keep their minds stayed upon Thee. And bless them, Lord, with truth and light. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.